Please open your Bible to Zechariah chapter 8, where we will resume at verse number 1 in order to get a little bit more of our context back in mind. The larger picture here is that some people have come to Jerusalem from Bethel, about a day's journey away, to inquire that in view of the fact that the temple is being rebuilt, and therefore the desolation of the temple and also of Jerusalem is coming to an end, should they continue with the traditional fasts on the 10th day of the 5th month, which commemorates the destruction of the temple, the burning of the temple, and the major buildings of the city, and the fast that is taking place in the 7th month, more than likely the fast that was associated with the assassination of Gedaliah. Those things happened about 70 years ago when the judgment of God fell upon the land. And so God's response is interesting. He basically says, look, those fasts were all about how you felt. That's all you. You were grieving over it, when in fact that judgment came because of sin. And what God really wanted was the people to repent when he sent his prophets. He didn't want to have to bring that judgment. So he then, in chapter 8, as we're about to be reminded, said, the whole intent that I've always had is to be in holy relationship with you in the land, at Jerusalem. And that's really what should be the focus of people, is right relationship, not grieving over the fact that you got in trouble in the past. So, Zechariah chapter number 8. The word of he who is of the hosts came, saying, thus says he who is of the hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy. And the word jealous here can also be zealous. So it isn't just simply a strong negative emotion against somebody else. It can also be a very strong positive emotion toward the focus of your zeal. So I am zealous for Zion, which is the Temple Mount. That's Jerusalem. And he has this very strong emotion toward it. He wants it to be the place of relationship. I am jealous for her with great wrath. So the reason he brought judgment was because there wasn't right relationship happening at Zion. They'd moved in a whole bunch of other idols into the temple complex, and that's why he wanted it erased, blotted out, made desolate, and why they got a time out to think about this pagan adultery that had been engaged in by the people at Jerusalem. Continuing verse number 3, thus says he who is, I have returned to Zion. See, he has brought the people back into close connection to the holy site with his prophets here. I've returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, the mountain of he who is of the host, the holy mountain. So that's the ideal. That's what God wants. He wants Jerusalem to be faithful. He wants Jerusalem to be his mountain, his holy place where he meets with his people. Verse 4, thus says he who is of the hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. The streets of the city will be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. So all of that disappeared with the desolation, with the judgment, and God is wanting to bring it back again, where there's young and old, male and female, at peace and living in holiness at Jerusalem. Verse 6. Thus says he who is of the hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of these people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares he who is of the hosts. Thus says he who is of the hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country, from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. So that's his goal. That's his ideal. He wants everybody to come back into relationship with him in faithfulness and righteousness. Now, he wants it to be at Jerusalem. He wants it to be in connection with the Temple Mount. But the important aspect is he wants it to be wholehearted faithfulness and righteousness and holiness. Verse number 9. Thus says he who is of the hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets who are present, on the day that the foundation of the house of he who is of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. So it's encouragement here. This is all happening in 518 BC. So it's been only a couple of years since Haggai and Zechariah got the rebuilding project restarted. It's been 17, 18 years since the foundation was reset by Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. So God is saying, you need to get the job done. Stay strong. Stay in faithfulness and holiness and get the temple built so that we can have this relationship. Verse number 10, for before those days, there was no wage for man or any wage for beast. Neither was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came in. For I set every man against his neighbor. Now that gets back to the whole thing that the situation has not been ideal because the temple has not been in the process of being rebuilt. We have already seen in both Haggai and Zechariah that God had sent a famine and a drought upon the returnees. So they were not getting the full harvest in. They were not getting the full benefit of blessing from God because they were not living according to the commandment. And now we're reminded they weren't even safe from some of the troublemakers of the region because they weren't getting the temple built. But that has all started to change because now they're getting it built. And so God says, that's what I want to see. Verse 11, but now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares he who is of the hosts, for there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give its produce, the heavens shall give their due. So God's going to bring an end to the famine. God's going to bring an end to the drought. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. So in the judgment passages, they were warned that if they had not repented, which they didn't, God was going to bring the Babylonians and destroy the city, destroy the temple, destroy the people as a group, take them into exile, and they would become a byword. That is, they would become the butt of jokes. They would become the warning example of this is what happens when you mess around with your God, when you go against his commandments. You lose your temple, you lose your city, you lose your country. And so God is saying, I'm going to reverse all that. I'm going to save you if you'll just be strong and live by the covenant and get the job done that I sent you back here for, which is the rebuilding of the temple. Because we need to remind ourselves of this. The stage needs to be set for the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah will be coming to Jerusalem, to Judea, to the temple. And so all of that needs to be put in place. Verse 14. For thus says he who is of the hosts, as I purposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says he who is of the hosts, so again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. We see this in the New Testament. Speak the truth in love. Don't tell lies to each other. Speak the truth in love. Render in your gates judgment that are true and make for peace. The gates of the city provided a forum for the judicial persons, which were typically the elders of the city, the older gentlemen. And so they would sit in the gates and people would come to them and ask for them to arbitrate. And so God is saying, you need to be fair in all those arbitrations. You need to do things the right way according to God's standards. You don't go in favor of the rich just because they're rich, and you don't go in the favor of the poor just because they're poor. Justice needs to be blind in that respect. The rules apply to everyone equally from the top to the bottom of society. And so God is telling them, don't be fiddling with that anymore, because that's part of the reason they got in trouble, by the way. Verse 17, do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, which is a problem when you become self-centered and self-serving and you want something that somebody else has, then you take them out. You tromp all over them. You twist circumstances and situations to your benefit and to their loss. And that's not right, ever. And so God warns these guys, don't you be doing that anymore. Love no false oaths. Lying in the name of God, because they would take their oaths in the name of God. For all these things I hate, declares he who is. Every once in a while, I think we forget that there are a lot of things God hates. We focus on God's love appropriately, but we forget that he hates. He is not committed and will not put up with sinful behavior forever. Judgment eventually will fall upon sin. Verse number 18. Now we get back to the thing that prompted all of this. The word of he who is of the host came to me saying, thus says he who is of the hosts. The fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. All right, so now we need to go back and talk about these fasts again, because we've got a couple of more that are mentioned. The fast of the fourth month is related to this passage that comes out of Jeremiah 39, verse 2. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, a breach was made in the city. So in the fourth month, the Jewish people were grieving over, fasting over, the fact that the city had been breached, the city walls had been broken through by the Babylonian forces. The fast of the fifth month, we already talked about that. That's the 10th of Av. That's the 10th of the fifth month was when Jerusalem was burned. The temple in particular, but also the major the major buildings, and then the wall was in the process of being torn down. So they were grieving over that every single year. The fast of the seventh, that's probably the assassination day of Gedaliah, the Jewish governor for the Babylonians that was murdered by Jews in the seventh month of that same year that Jerusalem was destroyed. And then the fast of the 10th month. This is explained to us best by Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 4. In the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came with all his army against Jerusalem and laid siege to it, and they built siege works all around it. And you may remember that Ezekiel was told on that very day, the 10th day of the 10th month, the siege of Jerusalem has begun, and it will end in its destruction. So every year, for the last 70 years, the Jewish people had been had been depriving themselves of food, fasting on these specific days because they all represented the destruction of Jerusalem and the loss of the country and the sending of them into exile. And so they grieved over it repeatedly for 70 years. And they'd asked, should we keep this up now that we're back in the land and the temple is being rebuilt? And the city of Jerusalem is being rebuilt, and Judaism is being reestablished in the promised land. Should we keep it up? And God's response is, no, you need to knock it off with the fasting. Those things were legitimate punishments that came upon the people because of their sin. And when you had these times of fasting, you were doing it because you were upset that you got punished. I mean, that's the real point that God is bringing out here. You guys decided to fast on these days because you were upset that the punishment fell. Well, my goal was through that punishment to bring you back into right relationship with me in holiness and righteousness. And so we're going to try that again. And no, you should not still be pouting about the last punishment that you got. Now, that feels very strong for me to say it that way, but that's pretty much the way it's coming across in the text here, isn't it? Is God is saying, knock it off with the pouting about your last punishment. Get focused instead on the relationship that I'm offering to you again. And that is, I think that's important advice for all of us as Christians. We, from time to time, get ourselves in trouble, don't we? We get ourselves in trouble with God. That's really bad, and we need to repent and quit pouting over getting in trouble and start doing the right thing for God. But there are times we get in trouble with authority figures, the government, or we get in trouble with the leaders of our families, like kids with parents and things like that. Hey, if what you did was wrong, then take your punishment, suck it up, and move on. Restore relationship appropriately. Quit pouting about the last time you got in trouble. We've got to move on. We've got to mature in our relationship with other people, and especially in our relationship with God. I think that's a good thing to take away from this. All right, so let's go back to verse number 19 again and then continue on. Thus says he who is of the hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. So knock it off with the pouting. Knock it off with the fast days. Get back to loving truth and peace. That's where you should have your focus. Now, before we move on, I need to point out that the fast of the fifth month is still going on with Jewish people. And there's a reason for that. Because after rebuilding this temple, after having the Messiah come into this temple and come into the rebuilt city of Jerusalem, he was rejected and crucified. And even though he resurrected and offered forgiveness to those that would repent, the judgment of Daniel chapter 9 was still put into place. And that is that the temple and the city of Jerusalem were both destroyed just like the Messiah was killed. And so the temple was burned again, and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed again on the 10th day of the fifth month. The exact same day it happened the first time. Very ironic, and the Jews make a point of the irony of that. When you read Josephus, he makes a point of the irony. Now, even though they've moved it to the ninth day for rabbinical reasons, they still fast on this day because of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, not once, but twice in the fifth month of their year. We still need repentance. We still need to embrace Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and love truth and love peace, and not keep pouting about past judgments from God. Let's continue. Verse number 20. Thus says he who is of the hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, oh, let's go at once to entreat the favor of he who is and to seek he who is of the hosts. I myself am going. So what you're seeing here is the prediction that there's still going to be tons more people coming to Jerusalem, coming to Judah, coming to the Promised Land, out of the lands of the exile, out of Mesopotamia, out from Egypt. And they're going to be coming back, and they're going to be rebuilding not just Jerusalem, but all the other towns and repopulating them. And then they're going to be coming to each other going, oh, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go have relationship. Let's go meet with God. And they're going to do the very thing that God wants them to do. Quit pouting about the past and the judgment that came with the sins of the past, and start working on the eternal relationship. And the prophecy here actually does jump forward into eternity itself. Verse 22, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek he who is of the hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of he who is. So non-Jews will be wanting a relationship with God. Isn't that great news, Gentiles? Those of us that don't have a drop of Jewish blood in us, we get to come and be part of this eternal relationship. Thus says he who is of the hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. So we have grabbed hold of the Jewish faithful, the ones who preached the gospel of Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and we have been grafted into the tree of faithful Israel. And it is a celebratory thing, and it has future impact upon all of us. Chapter number 9. We'll just get started on this today and finish it next session. The burden of the word of he who is against the land of Hadrach. Now, first of all, burden here is the idea of something that has to be carried. So this is a message, basically, that is to be carried by Zechariah to be delivered. The land of Hadrach has to do with the northern land, the area north of the Promised Land around Damascus. Damascus is its resting place. For he who is has an eye on mankind and on all the tribes of Israel. And on Hamath also, which borders on it. So Hamath is a land even farther to the north of Israel from Damascus. Tyre and Sidon, though, they are very wise. Tyre has built herself a rampart and heaped up silver like dust and fine gold like the mud of the streets. But behold, he who is will strip her of her possessions and strike down her power on the sea, and she will be devoured by fire. So Zechariah now is given information about future events against some of the nations surrounding the Promised Land, their judgments, because they have not embraced the covenant God. And Tyre will be destroyed again. It was destroyed by the Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar gets rebuilt, starts putting things back together again. But guess what? Soon it will be Alexander the Great coming, and he's going to strike her down as well. Ashkelon shall see and be afraid. Gaza too shall writhe in anguish. Ekron also, because its hope are confounded. The king shall perish from Gaza. Ashkelon shall be uninhabited. These are all the Philistine regions to the west side of Judah. A mixed people shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of Philistia. So God says there's going to be judgment coming against that western shoreline of Judea as well, because they're not embracing the covenant of the true and living God. And that happens as well under the time of Alexander the Great. And what we're going to find out here is that Zechariah is going to start looking toward that period of time that will be fulfilled in the time of the Greeks coming this direction against the Jews, and how the Jews will respond.